Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday to all of you. Great to be with you on this Friday. And it's a big sports day here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Of course, our show till 5 o'clock this evening. And Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie on the air at 6:30 tonight with a 7 o'clock kickoff as Shikellamy is back in action this evening. Looking forward to that. It started to rain a little bit here in State College. It probably is a little more so where you are, right?
Yeah, we have a little bit more rain here. It's, I wouldn't say heavy, but it is steady. And I made a few phone calls. And all the games on the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting, at least, are a go for tonight.
They should be. There's no reason not to.
Well, there's three teams that are playing on turf. Shamokin Milton is on turf. Selinsgrove Grove Berwick's on turf. Lewisburg is playing on turf tonight at Christie. Shikellamy's the only one on grass. And, you know, people always ask me, why do they postpone high school football games for rain? And the reason is they don't want to rip up the field because of the expense of having to fix it so they can use it the rest of the year. But when you hit the midway part of the season, it takes a little bit more than a shower or two to make them want to postpone things.
What will happen? What are the tonight? Which one of the two teams is the better running team, in your opinion?
You know, you'd have to lean toward statistically, especially Montoursville, especially with Keith Butkowski with over 600 yards so far on the season. Statistically, they've been running the ball much better. If Shikellamy had Sean Turber in the backfield this week, I would say absolutely. Yep, I would say it's right down the middle. But as I said yesterday on the show, there's a lot of young guys on a very deep running back crew here at Shikellamy. And Joey Folk is one of those guys. He's a freshman that they have a lot of hope for the next 4 years. Very young, but very, very quick.
Yeah, and that's tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 will be the airtime. Selinsgrove will be at Berwick tonight at Crispin Field. That will kick at 7, but that's a 6 o'clock airtime at Eagle 107 this evening. Lewisburg, you're near on the Valley 100.9. And, of course, Milton on WMLP tonight, 1380. Both of those are 6:30 airtimes with a 7 o'clock kickoff. So we're looking forward to that this evening. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, the imports, domestics, microbrews. Now, you need to stock up for the weekend. There's no question about that. Stock up for your tailgate parties and everything that goes with it. With imports, domestics, and microbrews, a selection that is just tremendous. And you also have water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, they also have the pickle bar, which is just second to none. And by the way, you pick up the peanuts, by the way. They're right there at the register. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Reporter, will join us in the second half hour. Lou Prado, his new book is out, 100 Things You Need to Do as a Penn State Fan Before You Die. That book is now out as of Thursday. Lou will be on in the 4:06 half hour to talk about that book, and we're looking forward to that conversation very, very much. So that's what we have on tap for today. Steelers lost last night in overtime to Baltimore in a game they should not have lost last night. And it is very easy to pin it on Josh Scobie, but why didn't the defense get a stop at the end? Why didn't the offense get a couple of additional first downs along the way and maybe finish some drives? This is one that goes all the way through, and obviously a domino effect of Scobie's performance is how Mike Tomlin coached on fourth and short situations last night. But this goes much deeper than just a kicker, although I do not understand why the Steelers, in this entire kicking crisis, they've signed a kicker right away. They traded for another kicker, but not one time have they done a tryout where they brought four or five in and kind of figured out and get a feel for themselves which ones they liked.
I don't get that either. And right now, I don't think there's any Steeler fan who doesn't want to see that happen. I just don't understand it. And you're right about Scobie. I mean, it's easy to blame him on missing two field goals that shouldn't have been missed for a guy of his experience.
And there's a domino effect as to how they coached it because
absolutely.
Of it.
But you know what? You go back to that fourth down call that you were talking about.
But I mean, again, same thing though. But the offense was not. The offense had a great player last night in Le'Veon Bell. He was great last night.
Right.
Why isn't he touching the ball in
Bingo.
Those spots?
That is exact. Or better yet, here, let me take you back to that fourth down and two, where they decide not to kick the field goal, which I think was the right call, and you don't want to punt it. I'm fine with that. Why did you run an empty backfield with Vic? When Vic took one step forward, every linebacker in every corner came right in and knew he wasn't throwing the football. At least if you don't want to give it to Bell, use him as a decoy, fake it to Bell, and then run Vic on the edge. I did not understand that call.
No, I didn't understand that call. And on top of it, though, Vic was good, but no better than good last night.
No.
It was a major drop-off. To be frank, from the starting quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, to the backup, Michael Vick. It was a dramatic drop-off.
The second, fourth, and short was a terrible pass to an open Brown.
Yeah, sort of open, but yeah. I mean,
well, that's a pass that's going to be made at this level. It has to be.
I mean, Brown got his five catches last night, but I think he he averaged what? 8 yards a catch.
Yeah,
I think he was.
I don't know if he made 50 or not.
Right.
I have a two-word suggestion for the Steelers, Steve and Kevin. Sam Ficken.
Listen, I sent Steve a text after that second missed field goal. If I'm Sam Ficken's agent at 9:00 a.m., I'm on Colbert's phone going, "Hey, I got a guy you may want to look at."
But there are a lot of guys you want to look at,
right.
Not just Sam.
Absolutely.
I mean, Sam would do a great job, but I think you've got to be able to bring some people in your own stadium, on your own time, and take a good, long, hard look at them, and they haven't done that at this stage. I think they settled quickly for Garrett Hartley as a quick solution, and then they felt, hey, look, we'll trade for a 12-year veteran and bring him in and see what he can do. I mean, Scobie is a 12-year veteran who has made a lot of big kicks in his career.
I thought it was a good move.
But for whatever reason, this isn't working out. I don't want to hear all the mumbo jumbo about open ends of the stadium or things like that. I'm trying to remember the last kick in that stadium Tucker missed. Oh, that's right, there haven't been any. So obviously it can't be that daunting if the opposing kicker never has a problem in years there.
You're not gonna get an argument from me on any of that. I will say this, when you did see the first kick slide inside the right upright, tilting because of the wind, it probably means there's a wind blowing and you probably shouldn't kick it right down the middle the next three times. The second kick that he did make, because the Ravens were offside, was actually tipped. So it's hard to say which direction that was going. But the next two were nowhere near where they needed to be. That needed to be right of the upright, and it was not even close.
So
that was my problem.
So in your experience as a kicker, that's how you usually handle that?
Whoa, wait a minute here. Listen, you don't have to be a kicker to know when the wind's blowing right to left. You need to kick it a little further right than left.
I just want to know, in your experience as a kicker, this is what you've experienced, that's the spot you got to put it in.
I'm not saying that I could do better. I'm saying he's getting paid a lot of money to do better than I can, and he didn't.
I'm just kidding you.
I know.
I'm just kidding you.
Kevin wouldn't have done worse than Scobie last night.
No, I couldn't have made the first two kicks. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't have made the first two kicks.
But here's the domino of all of this. The domino of all of this is that, A, you lost a game you should have won. B, you lost a game within the division. C, you lost the game at home. And right now, at the quarter pole, you're a 500 team in danger going under.
And then there's an E there, too. You lost a game.
I mean under 500. I don't mean under as a team.
Right, right. You lost a game, though, that would have put one of your rivals virtually out of it. Virtually.
Right. No, 0-4, they would have been done. There's just no way. So.
And Brown, by the way, five catches, 42 yards. It does break the string that you hate so much anyway.
No, he made five catches.
Well, there was a string of five catches for over an average of 50 yards.
No, who cares? I said he averaged 8 yards a catch. He averaged 8.4. So what? I missed by 0.4.
Not arguing with you. You were right. Heath Miller targeted twice with one catch. Now, that should tell you the difference between quarterbacks.
Okay, and the one catch he made, the stadium, Heath, and he gained a yard.
Yes. Okay, but that's the difference between quarterbacks that you talked about.
That's the difference between fan bases. Wake up. You got a yard. Don't Heath him. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. It's okay.
You always Heath him.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Watch the games, people. Say Heath when he's rumbling down the field, not when he's getting tackled 20 yards shy of the mark.
You assume he's going to rumble down the field. That's the problem.
I'll tell you. There is no better pulling and blocking tight end in the NFL than him. He is the best pulling and blocking tight end in the NFL, easily. We will come back with more of this broadcast extravaganza, as only we can do in a moment. The News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour. Lou Prado at 4 o'clock today in that half hour. Let's discuss his new books, 100 Things You Need to Do as a Penn State Fan Before You Die. I do kid Lou just a bit. I said, you know, I notice you have Jack Hammond at number 33. But then when you add in, listen to Steve Jones and Jack Ham, Jack then falls 49 spots to 82. I said, exactly what was added in that made him fall so far?
Bringing him down.
Taking him right down to the abyss. That's what I do. All right.
One thing I wanted to jump in and add, Steve, you and I were talking during the break about Major League Baseball games that might be affected by the weather that have playoff implications. There was one game I found. The Yankees do play 3 in Baltimore this weekend.
I thought the Yankees have clinched the playoff
spot.
Well,
they did, but it's a point of whether they're a wild card right now. It's a point of if they can hang. They have a 3-game lead at the moment.
Okay, you mean in terms of hosting?
In terms of hosting, right. In terms of hosting a game.
I was going to say, because Toronto's already clinched.
No, it's in terms of hosting the game is what I was.
Yeah, but they'll be able to. You know, but they'll be able to play Sunday, even if it's say not great tonight. They actually played in the rain last night with the Red Sox.
What if Oakland and the White Sox were playing and the game, it was the last game of the season, would they make that game up if it had nothing to do with any of the playoff scenarios, or would they just let it go?
No, they'd let it go. It would be a lost date is what they would do with it. Because it has no bearing on what's going on. So, yeah. Tomorrow, Army here at Beaver Stadium at noon on Military Appreciation Day. And we'll be talking a lot more about that. Yeah, you have to stop. It looks like Amon Bradshaw, the starting quarterback for Army, may not play in the game. And A.J. Shurer and Bradshaw both run the option the same way with the same proficiency. There's no difference between the two as to how they run it. They're both very good with it. They're both very clever with the ball. They hide the ball well. They pitch it well, the whole deal. The biggest difference as to why Bradshaw plays more than Shurer does is very simple. Bradshaw can take a play like he did against UConn, like he did against Eastern Michigan, and he has the ability, especially with his quickness, his speed, to take it all the way. That same play sure probably can make a 20-yard gain out of it. That's the big difference between the two. You have to get up and play with the lead in this game. You have to play with the lead in this game and force Army to play from behind. Now, they're not going to throw the ball to get themselves back in the game. That's not their MO. But if you get the lead on them and they're trying to play catch-up with that running game, it then does become an issue for them in terms of getting back.
Steve, I'm going to play dumb sports fan guy here for a minute. Not like I don't normally play that, but you know, I'm thinking out loud here. A team that throws the ball an average of 4 times a game, do you even bother on a regular basis covering people? I mean, I know you have to, but if you're a corner, are you just going to kind of soft cover everybody? Are you going to run everybody man-to-man coverage and not worry about playing zone?
No, what you have to do is this is assignment football. So in part of assignment football, if they put a wide out there and he's in front of you, your assignment's to cover him. That's assignment football. And you're talking about a team that I think averages, 22 yards per catch overall? And because they have big averages catching the football, in other words, when they try to throw the ball, they're trying to get chunk plays. Well, if you start making the assumption that everything's an option play, it's all going to be a pitch play, they're just going to run the football, that's going to be the time they pull up and they decide to throw the football. So, again, we talk about assignment football, and when we talk about that, that means, hey, look, you're the outside linebacker or the defensive end. You've got the quarterback. Linebacker's got the pitch guy. Assignment football. Well, part of assignment football is you as the corner covering your guy as a wideout.
Do you think that Penn State will play more than man-to-man coverage, anything other than man-to-man coverage, more than 10 times in this game?
Oh, I don't know what Bob wants to do with it. I mean, I've watched what Bob practices and so forth. I was talking to James today, and he said it's been a frustrating week for Bob because there are only 7 base defenses he can play in the game.
So you're saying he's limited.
True story. Like, I mean, this is all we have to do? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will be on. We had a choice here. We were going to either have Tony on to talk about the Steelers last night, or we're going to bring Sean Carey and Kevin in, along with a local psychiatrist. Just kind of a little group chat.
Scobie, gone.
Too simple.
I'd rather see the punter kick the ball.
It's too simple.
That was Ben's got one good leg. Night. Can he kick the ball? He's got one good leg.
Boy, Bob, it's so great to have you here.
I'm still in shock from last night myself.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, and microbrews. Boy, Brewers Outlet just does a great job. The selection is second to none. Bob and I both love going over to the Pickle Bar, which is tremendous. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register when you leave. Plenty of help, too, to get whatever cases you need to the car. Water, soda, snacks. One-stop shopping for the weekend. One-stop shopping for the tailgate. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where Bob, Kevin, earlier this week had to turn the car in.
Yeah, somebody apparently wanted it, Kevin has been actually walking and hitchhiking back to his home without the Sunbury Ford vehicle.
Yeah, thanks for the ride, Bob. Appreciate that, by the way. It was nice of you to at least hit the puddle when you drove by,
too. I didn't see you standing by the side of the road with your thumb out until I got well past you, Kevin.
Yeah. I really appreciate the puddle you hit, though. Well, that was I needed that shower.
I was swerving to avoid something in the road.
Right. But earlier in the week, and we've been talking about it all week, we've been featuring the Ford Transit Connect, which is a very unique vehicle from Ford. We've been talking about the way you can use it to make money, but with the 7-passenger seating that's available, including cup holders in the armrest for the middle row, plus cup holders in the back row as well, and 12-volt power centers, both in the middle row and in the back as well, gives everybody in the vehicle an opportunity to charge all their electronic devices. So if you're looking for a vehicle that is not really an SUV, not really a minivan, but has more of a sedan-type feel, but still can fit 7 different passengers in it, maybe you want to look at the Transit Connect as a passenger vehicle. You can get the windows in the side that will roll down automatically. Not roll down, but they're automatic windows now on the slide on the side sliding doors. Plus, you can either get the hatchback or the cargo back. The flooring can be carpeted or it can be the matte flooring. Plus, you can get accessories like a DVD player. You can also get the trailer hitch assembly in case you want to tow something like a boat or maybe some jet skis behind it. All-weather floor mats and, oh yeah, push-button start also available on the Transit Connect from Ford, available from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury. And tonight during the football game, we'll debut a new Sunbury Motors Kia vehicle.
Looking forward to that very much. And tonight, Chickalimmy at home with Montoursville at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, joins us. Tony was at the Heinz Field last night. Tony, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think these things usually go a little bit deeper than that. I mean, you know, I think at the heart of it was, you know, how they ran the offense, how Todd Haley called the offense for Michael Vick. And you know, the players sort of touched on that. I mean, you know, they talked about not being able to do the things that they needed to do. Michael Vick missed a throw at the end of the game, and he pointed the finger squarely at himself, said that that is what cost him the game, was the throw to Antonio Brown on fourth down where he had him open. I think a lot of the other criticism goes directly to the idea that, you know, Le'Veon Bell was gashing that defense for 6 yards a clip, and he only got the ball 20-some times in a game that lasted, I guess almost 75 minutes. I guess about 70 minutes or so. So, you know, that he certainly could have had the ball in his hands a lot more rather than putting the ball in the hands of a 35-year-old turnover-prone backup quarterback, which is what they did at the end of the game. And then Mike Tomlin certainly did face some criticism for his decision-making. In some regards, his hands were tied. He was basically in overtime with a kicker that certainly, you know, it wasn't just yesterday. It's been all season for Josh Scobie, and this is their third kicker. You know, they asked him after the game, are you going to look for another kicker? And he didn't say that they weren't. But, boy, you know, I don't know how you go four kickers deep at this point in the season. This is going to be an ongoing thing all season long. And, yeah, I think it's going to have an impact on the play calling as the season continues unless they, you know, let's face it, luck into a kicker.
Tony, why haven't they had tryouts where they brought in 3 or 4 guys? Because they picked up Hartley almost right away. They traded for Josh Scobie. Why haven't they done just an open tryout to get a feel for it themselves?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, you know, if you would have asked me that, you know, when they signed Scobie, I would have told you, well, you know, they were able to go out and get a veteran kicker, probably not the guy that they wanted, but, you know, quite frankly, I thought they were in decent shape at that point. But it looks like Josh Scobie's career may just be on the downside at this point. You know, it's not to take shots at Josh Scobie. He is what he is, and he's an aging kicker who doesn't seem to have the leg he used to. You know, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to do exactly what you just said at this point, and this weekend would be a good time to do it while everybody else is, you know, is playing games. They're going to certainly have a chance to bring some people in. Woke up this morning to a tweet from, if you remember, Jeff Reed, who said, guys, I have the solution. Just bring me back. Let's make this easy. So Jeff Reed's putting it out there already. He wants to come back and try to kick. And you know what? It's not as crazy as it may sound on the surface. They are in desperate need of a kicker. They've got enough issues anyway. And last night's a game that they should have won. They could have gotten out of there, escaped with a victory, and they'd be sitting at 3-1 with Ben Roethlisberger that much closer to coming back and really in very good position. Now they're in a mass scramble with everybody else in the division.
The Michael Vick, I'm sure he didn't allude to this. That's, you know, as a professional, I doubt he would. But do you feel he was affected by the fact that it was such a short week, and can he greatly benefit by the fact there's 10 days between games?
I think that he will. Yeah, you know, again, just like you said, he's been through, you know, these kind of things plenty of times before, and he certainly pointed the finger at himself last night. But yeah, I think there's no question that you know, this was going to be the toughest week for Vic, you know, from the jump, and I think the play calling, you know, was certainly went along that plan, that they tried to make things as simple and as easy for Michael Vick as possible, and they may need to open things up a little bit more and sort of let him sink or swim. It wouldn't surprise me. We talked about them bringing in kickers. It wouldn't surprise me if they brought in some quarterbacks as well to compete for the backup job. Not to push Michael Vick, but let's keep in mind this is a guy that's 35, a guy that does have a history of getting hurt, and he's got Landry Jones backing him up right now. I think that made sense on a short week. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense next week without at least trying to maybe upgrade there a little bit. Because I think those go hand in hand a little bit, Steve. If they open up the offense a little bit, they're going to open up Vic to the chance of getting hit.
Was there a domino that affected Antonio Brown? Yeah, he had the five catches, but I think he averaged, what, 8 yards a catch in last night's game. It was under 10, I thought.
Yeah.
How much did that affect him, and did he talk about that domino effect after the game?
You know, he really didn't too much. Michael Vick did a little bit more than Brown did. You know, Vick's a left-handed quarterback. That changes a lot of things. That changes a lot of positioning on the field, and I think that maybe Todd Haley and the rest of that offense are going to have to get used to that, how those throws are going to be made and where they want to put Antonio Brown on the field. But, there's got to be no question Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown have been on the same page for the past 3 years, and they've got a tremendous rhythm going. And Vick did allude to the fact that, you know, I'm not going to establish that same rhythm that those guys had, but we have to find a way to get the ball to Antonio more. And Vic did say there were times that he should have gotten the ball to Antonio Brown. I almost think that he's starting to think maybe, you know, there are times that I may have to force, probably isn't the best word, but I guess that is what I mean. There are certain receivers you can force the football to, and Brown may be one of those guys.
Defensively, they haven't really given up a lot of points the last 3 weeks. Do we know yet how good they are, or are you starting to get a gauge that maybe they're a little bit better than people think?
You know, I think it's been tough. I mean, they have played pretty well the last 3 weeks. You're exactly right. But I think you also have to balance that by looking at the offenses they've played. I mean, Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco is one of the, you know, offenses that's struggling more than anybody in the NFL. The Rams certainly don't have much of an offense. And even though Joe Flacco certainly has a history and a resume behind him, you know, with Steve Smith banged up, that Ravens offense has been a bad offense most of the year. And they got the points when they needed to last night. But, you know, 53-yard kick or whatever, this isn't exactly a team that's you know, shoving the ball down people's throats. So the Steelers defense has played better, I think, than we thought they would, but it has to be tempered by the idea of who they're playing. I will say this, the defensive line, I think, is becoming a good defensive line. Cameron Hayward's a very good football player, and Stephon Tuitt, second-year guy out of Notre Dame, had a monster game last night. He's becoming a force as well. So I think the defensive line is there. If they can get Ryan Shazier back on the field, and I'm hoping that's not something we continue to say as the season goes on, then that defense does have a chance to at least be better than we thought, and maybe protect that secondary, which I think is probably as bad as we thought.
Pirates headed for the one-game playoff on Wednesday, which, with a couple more wins, will be at PNC Park. How heartened should Pirate fans be by what they saw from Gerrit Cole Wednesday, and also by the fact that they've won 7 of his last 8 starts?
Well, that's where they have to hang their hat. There's no question. And if you look at what Cole's done, and not only what he's done, but who he's beaten. You know, he's beaten Michael Wacha. He's beaten the Cubs. He's beaten John Lester. He's beaten the Dodgers. He's beaten the Cubs twice, actually. So, yeah, this is a guy who is pitching, you know, extremely well. He has a history of pitching, you know, fabulously after September 1st, all the month of September and into October in his short career. So, yeah, I think the fans should certainly be encouraged. As much as the Pirates hitters struggle against Jake Arrieta, boy, the Cubs don't exactly tear up Gerrit Cole either. So, you know, that's going to be a battle of attrition. And, you know, Steve, I like the Pirates in a series, but they've got to get there first because it really is a roll of the dice. And, man, the way Jake Arrieta has pitched, Cole's going to have to be almost perfect.
I do too, Tony. I really do, because if they were to win or survive on Wednesday, I mean, sometimes these one games are survivals.
Yep.
Then you come back with Liriano, Jay Happ, and then you got Cole coming back in Game 3. I mean, in a short series, the Pirates, I think, are pretty well set up. Maybe not as well set up as the Dodgers are, but still really well set up.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I definitely agree. I mean, the Dodgers and Mets certainly have rotations that are very nice. I like the Pirates' bench as much as anybody in the National League. Yeah. I think they've got a very deep bench. And, you know, again, you know, Pirates fans just get sick of saying this, but, you know, here they are again in that roll of the dice, you know, winner-take-all one-game series.
Yeah, but this is a little bit different. The first one was like we're all happy to be here and the emotion was in the park. Last year they got stuck with seeing somebody's ace against a 3 or 4, essentially. This time at least you're going out there with your ace, and really you might actually have the best team in baseball outside of Toronto. So we'll say the best team in the United States.
I agree. You know, I definitely agree. I like their chances. I don't think the Cubs can be too confident against the Pirates, just as much as the Pirates probably, you know, can't be too overconfident against a team like the Cubs with the lineups both of these teams put out there. It's good to have it at home. You know, that you'd certainly rather have it at home than you would on the road. Sure. They've still got a little bit of work to do to take care of that. But boy, you know, the Cardinals just won a division where you're going to have three teams winning 95 plus games, which is, you know, really remarkable.
The Johnstown Kraft Hockeyville game could not have been done, in my opinion, any better by NBC Sportsnet than they did. It was a great show for Johnstown. But, Tony, why didn't they, you know, and Mario Lemieux went and Malkin was there, but why didn't they at least, even in sweats, send Sidney Crosby and Fleury?
I don't understand that move. You know, I honestly don't. That's the perfect stage for a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, too. He's a guy that would, you know, enjoy that kind of thing. So I don't understand why they didn't do that. To me, it was a no-lose situation to send those guys.
I mean,
you know, you're right. Even in sweat, you have them get out there and laugh a little bit.
Playing.
I mean, you know, Mario Lemieux was there. Malkin was wearing the tape on the glasses and everything. They did it right every other way. But to me, they did open themselves up for criticism, and I really don't understand it. It's not like they had to travel to Quebec or Vancouver. They could get in the car and ride a couple of hours, not even a couple of hours, and have been there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I'm not trying to rip the franchise here in any way, shape, or form. But it's just so close, and this is your fan base. I mean, this is your fan base. And for the NHL, it was actually made such a big deal of during the Stanley Cup playoffs that it actually was a big deal night.
Yeah, you know, I just think it's a bad move to, you know, basically expect or ask people to drive from Johnstown into Pittsburgh to watch a game when you can't even get a driver to take your star out there for a little bit of time. He could have driven back, you know, driven back after whatever, you know, his 15, 20 minutes out there in front of everybody. I don't understand it. To me, it was a missed opportunity. And to me, honestly, a little bit of an insult to the fan base, because just like you said, those people drive to your games. They're going to your games. You've got to be able to, you know, extend a hand to them a little bit, which they did not do, and I think that's on the franchise.
Outside of that, though, it was a well-done night across the board. Tampa Bay brought everybody, by the way. I mean, they brought the Stanley Cup final team with them. They did not mess around. Stamkos, Callahan, the triplets, they all played. Tony,
and I think those guys enjoyed it, too. Let me add that.
I think they did, too. Well, I think they brought back some roots. Brought back some roots, and I think it's great. And having the Carlsons, which is actually their name, in the movie, they're the Hansons.
Right.
I remember when the Carlsons actually played for the Minnesota Fighting Saints, and they fit right in with the nickname.
It's a legendary, you're right. It really does bring it back to its roots, and, it certainly made me want to watch Slapshot as soon as that game was over.
And I did, too. I watched the same thing as you. Tony, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thanks.
All right, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up now. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us, Lou Prado, in the next half hour. Tonight, Schickel and me at home. 7 o'clock, the kick, 6:30, the airtime, as the Braves take on Montoursville. Kevin and the Chief, Dave Ritchie, with the call here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Eagle 107 tonight starts at 6 with a 7 o'clock kick. Crispin Field, Berwick hosting Selins Grove. Lewisburg will be on the Valley 100.9 tonight. And Milton on 1380 WMLP. So this is what we have coming up this evening. And Lou Prado, of course, in the next half hour. And Bob, have you been able to talk Kevin off the ledge?
No, let me just tell you, while you were doing the last interview, I was with Sean Carey, a therapy session. He was in serious need. He took it hard last night, as everyone in Steeler Nation did. He agrees Sam Ficken is one of the solutions. He had some other thoughts, but I'm not allowed to say them on the radio. There's a lot of Steeler fans all across the Commonwealth, not in a happy mood this weekend. Yeah,
but again, you didn't lose the game because of one guy. You didn't.
Well, right? If that everybody one guy would have made those kicks, no overtime.
Bob, if your defense comes up with a stop at the end, no overtime.
Yeah.
If your offense comes up with a couple of first downs at the end, no overtime. Right? It's again, everybody played a role. How do you give up in a National Football League game 160-plus yards rushing to a guy? You don't do that in the NFL if you're a quality defense. They got run over last night, and they got run over by a team that had been struggling running the football. Baltimore had been struggling running the football, and voila, the Steeler defense showed up. All right.
How many points did they give up, though, last night, really, in regulation? You give up 17 points, that's pretty good, Steve.
But, Bob, guess what? Okay, money on the table. What did they do? Okay, gave up 3 points, got to overtime, lost. Okay, they come up with a stop, the game's over. All right? He hits a field goal, the game's over. The offense gets an additional first down, the game is over. They went 0-for-3 in all three areas. I don't care how many points they gave up all night, Bob. When the money was on the table, the Steeler defense failed.
Well, the other way of looking at it is when the money was on the table, a guy from another who was playing in another team earlier this season and kicking for the Steelers now, he was money not deposited in the bank.
Exactly. But where's the additional first down that puts the game away?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the stop at the end that, Baltimore forced overtime because they drove the ball on the Steelers.
I need to go back and talk to Sean Carey and explain a few more things to him.
He's
in deep therapy.
Let me tell you, the big problem is the offensive game was not called well.
Okay. But it's more than that. Again, your defense got run over last night.
I'm not saying anything negative. I'm not disagreeing with that.
They got run over by a team that cannot run the football. Okay, you're complaining about how long they were on the field. Well, the reason they were on the field a long time was in part because of them.
Fourth and two. Give the stinking ball to Bell. Why are we going empty backfield and letting Vic run the ball?
Look, punt the ball and knock him down to the 5-yard line.
Who gives a crap? It's over.
I'm just saying, but in all seriousness, okay, everybody's being too simple here. It's not a guy. It's everybody. Oh, okay,
there is blame to go around.
Everybody. Your station for news.